afternoon. I'm Sean Anderson.
And I'm Ann Kramer. Mike Chiakitis is our producer.
Our big story of the afternoon, the 2026 Maryland General Assembly session in Annapolis is off and running. This 90-day session is expected to be focused on a number of key issues, like trying to figure out how to pay the state's debt, which is at about $1.4 billion. Also, some legislators want more restrictions on ICE and its involvement in the state. Plus, there's education and a whole lot more to tackle.
This year, Governor Wes Moore is running for re-election as the challenges continue from the Trump administration on federal dollars to the state and cuts to programs from the White House. Joining us live right now is Maryland Governor Wes Moore. Governor, thank you so much for taking time to join us. We know it's a busy day with the start of the legislature. Let's start off with you on this looming budget deficit, about $1.4 billion. What are you planning to propose to make up to pay for that debt? And will your plans include, Governor Moore, a tax or fee increase or any new taxes or fees?
Yeah, but for the fourth year in a row, I'm going to introduce a balanced budget that the general fund's going to be smaller than the year before. So we are actually going to decrease the size of our spending. This budget will not include tax nor fee increases, but that we are still going to make sure we're making targeted investments in public education, public safety. And also we've got to make sure we're diversifying our economy off of Washington, D.C. And that includes, continuing to do the work like we just recently announced that Samsung Biologics is going to build their first manufacturing facility in the United States. They're going to build it in the state of Maryland. That we now have AstraZeneca, which is making the largest private sector investment in Maryland's history, that investment is going to support 2,600 jobs. And so we are making sure that our economy, as our economy continues to grow and the private sector continues to take the lead, we're going to diversify our economy off of Washington, D.C. We are going to make sure we're spending smartly and wisely and not spending on things that are either not effective or not sustainable.
Well, speaking of spending here, last year you offered buyouts to a fair number of state workers. Did it pay off as much as you had hoped?
Well, the thing I'm positive of is that I'm not trying to rebuild someone else's government. I'm trying to build the best and most efficient and most effective state government that Maryland can possibly offer. And so that means we are going to ensure that high essential roles are being filled. You know, since I've been the governor, we have now cut the teacher vacancy rate in half in the state of Maryland, that we have made historic investments in local law enforcement. And we've seen how that has paid off because Maryland now has the fastest drop in violent crime anywhere in the United States of America. And so we are not just going to spend for spending's sake. This is about how do you make sure that you have the most efficient and effective government possible, and that's exactly what we're providing to the people of the state of Maryland.
Governor, but something has to give when you have a $1.4 billion deficit here as you're moving into the next and proposing that next budget. So how are you going to do this? How do you make it happen? It's such a delicate dance.
Well, you have to invest in the things that are both effective and sustainable and stop investing in things that are not effective nor unsustainable. You know, Maryland has had a challenge where, you know, I inherited a structural deficit, but it wasn't that it just came from my predecessor. It has been happening in Maryland for the past 20 years, for a generation, where 18 of the last 21 budgets in the state of Maryland have required cuts in order to balance. And so we've got to get away from this idea that we invest based on formulas and start investing based on results. And that's exactly what this budget will reflect, is that we're making strategic investments in things that are effective and sustainable, and we are not going to be investing and supporting things that are either ineffective, unsustainable, and God forbid if they're not either.
But again, is there a specific program or programs that you have to reduce the funding for?
Well, yeah, you will see when we roll out our budget next week that the budget really does underscore where our values are. And so will we be making very real investments in public education? Yes, we will, because I believe the public education is the best way to actually stimulate economic growth, because that's one of the things that helps to recruit businesses. Will we invest in public safety? Absolutely, because businesses are choosing the state of Maryland because of the progress that we're seeing in public safety. We've added over 35,000 new jobs in this new businesses in the state of Maryland, either that have been built or we've recruited from other places. And we had about 100,000 new jobs in the state of Maryland. That is because we're making smart strategic investments in transportation and housing, in public safety and public education. And so you will see where my priorities are laid out, and you'll also be able to see the things that we just believe either because of efficacy or sustainability did not make the cut.
So talk to us a minute about, and our listeners, about the decision that you made and the initiative that you started to look at waste, fraud, and abuse in state agencies. And how has that paid off? Has it given anything back to the state? Because there have been some talk about some of the other audits and maybe what other direction you might go to try and find potentially more waste and fraud.
Absolutely. And it was one of the things that we did when we first came on board, or one of the first hires that I made was a chief performance officer who has been digging into every single agency and every single department within the state of Maryland and finding duplications, finding inefficiencies, finding places we could do better. And we've been very clear that if people are breaking the law, they will be held to account. And also, if there are things that are inefficient, we will make better. And it's the reason we focused on things like IT consolidation, on fleet management, on looking at the real estate that the state of Maryland owns and getting it off a balance sheet. That alone has already saved the state tens of millions of dollars. And over a period of time, we'll save the state over $500 million in savings. And so we would put our work around government modernization and advocacy against anyone inside of the entire country. And I think the results are showing that.
Governor, Republican leaders in Annapolis have been saying they're going to watch what you do, what the Democrats do, pretty carefully when it comes to spending money. They're even using a word that President Trump has been calling fake, and that would be affordability. Now, along the same lines, for example, the GOP in Annapolis says it wants to see more done about high utility bills. Thoughts on those two fronts?
Well, it's great to see them joining the conversation. And, you know, if they have opinions, they should share them directly with me. But the thing that I know is that when we're talking about things like utility bills, they should also highlight the fact that we've actually given utility rebates to the people of the state of Maryland last year. It should highlight the fact that one of the bills that I'm actually introducing is actually helping to address the rising costs of energy bills. They should highlight the fact that since Donald Trump and J.D. Vance returned back to the White House, that energy prices have risen over 20% just in the past 11 months since this administration has come on board. So if they want to have a serious conversation about energy prices, then I'm ready to have a serious conversation about including things like solar and wind and nuclear technologies and nuclear energy, because these are things that are going to not just effectively, efficiently, but also in a very speedy and affordable way, be able to increase the supply that we have on energy. And so I'm ready to have a serious conversation with anybody who is serious about this debate, and their political affiliation matters nothing to me.
Governor Moore, we're going to get you to hold on because we know we have you for a couple more minutes. We have a few more questions to ask you, but we're going to be back to you in just a moment. So hang on for me, okay? That's Maryland Governor Wes Moore.
WTOP at 3:38. We have traffic and weather together. Let's get to Dave Dildine in the traffic center.
Nothing too pressing out there, but out in the Manassas battlefield near the old Stonehouse, a crash on 29 at Sudley Road, and most of the intersection was blocked by the initial response. I think some traffic is starting to get by. George Washington Parkway southbound past the Key Bridge. Police stopped with someone in a lane, and south of Reagan National had someone waiting for help in the right lane near 4 Mile Run. It's getting more crowded on parts of the Beltway in Virginia and Maryland, but no major interstate incidents across the board. The cloudier commutes are often a little easier, at least steadier, in terms of major impact incidents. For victims of drunk and drug driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MADD.org. Dave Dildine, next traffic report is coming up in about 10 minutes.
Check of the WTOP forecast. We are going to continue with these isolated showers. Then we're going to have falling temperatures tonight, dropping to the 30s in some spots, and it's going to be pretty darn cold tomorrow. Cloudy day, blustery and cold. High temperatures just expected to be in the low 30s. Right now we have 50 in Rockville, 52 degrees in Ashburn.
Back to our conversation with Maryland Governor Wes Moore here on WTOP. Governor, many Americans are concerned about what they have seen here in the past week or so in Minnesota. We had President Trump going after Democratic-led cities and states with ICE enforcement. Maryland has often been a target of some of the president's barbs. How concerned are you that he will try to do the same in Maryland at a larger scale than the reports of stories, say, coming out of Montgomery County?
Well, people should be deeply concerned about the about what we are seeing, you know, in Minnesota, but it's not restricted to Minnesota. And, you know, immigration is a very personal issue for me. I mean, I was raised by an immigrant single mother. I come from an immigrant family. And we know that while the people of Maryland know that there is no higher priority for me than public safety. If you look at the results where Maryland has had the fastest drop of violent crime anywhere in the United States of America, people know I have zero tolerance when it comes to violent crime. They also know that I follow the Constitution. And so the challenge that I have is some of these behaviors that we are seeing from these ICE agents, they lack accountability, they lack a focus of due process, they lack a focus on violent crime, and they lack a following of the Constitution. And so I'm eager to work with the members of the General Assembly to look at our laws to make sure that we are both protecting our people and ensuring that we have law enforcement that are following the law.
Governor, you have learned, at least I guess I should ask you, how have you learned to deal with President Trump and his administration when it comes to funding issues and social issues like what we just talked about? Because you have butted heads with him. He has been in office a year now. We've got three more years to go. So how will you try and make that relationship, if you do at all, work?
Well, you know, I've been clear with the president, and I've been clear with the people of my state. I am always going to fight for my people. I will work with anyone. But I will bow down to no one. And the what we're simply asking the president to do is to follow the law. What we're simply asking the president to do is making sure that he's honoring the oath and frankly doing what we are doing here in the state of Maryland, where I've been very clear that if a person voted for me or not, I am still their governor and they're still a Marylander, which means I'm gonna fight for them with everything I've got. And so we are going to ensure that Marylanders are not just pushing back against the president when necessary, but we're going to make sure we're using our time pushing forward and showing how can we create economic growth? How can we make sure that our people are protected? How can we make Maryland more affordable? The things that we have been doing before are the things that we're going to keep on doing no matter who's sitting in the Oval Office.
Let's talk about the possibility of redistricting, congressional redistricting in Maryland. You have set up a commission. Tomorrow appears to be the deadline for some redrawn map proposals. There's only one Republican seat in Maryland, unlike neighboring Virginia, where the delegation is basically split. So why is it so important to redraw Maryland's congressional districts? And adding to that, just how tough will it be for you to get this through, considering Senate President Bill Ferguson's not been on board on this?
Well, the reason that I call for the governor's redistricting advisory commission is that every single decade, states go through this process. Donald Trump is the reason that we are now having a mid-decade conversation, because he decided to pick and choose what states should go through a mid-decade process. So he calls up Texas, he calls up Florida, he calls up Ohio, he calls up Missouri, he calls up North Carolina, and tells them, you don't need to go through a process. Just take a Sharpie and design new maps. And so what I said was, there is no way that the country is going to go through these processes, and particularly Donald Trump's elected states are going to go through this process while we sit on our hands. So if Maryland, if the rest of the country is going to go through a mid-decade process on examining whether or not they have fair maps, then so will Maryland. The thing that I said, though, is that we're not going to do what Texas did. That the reason that I called for a bipartisan commission, who has now spent months talking to Marylanders, listening to Marylanders, hearing where Marylanders are on this, is that our maps need to be informed by the people and not informed by the Oval Office. And so we are going to, they're going to make their recommendations, and then their recommendations will be given to the members of the General Assembly. And then the Maryland House and the Maryland Senate can, should, and I would assume will, then have a vote to determine where their members are, because the decisions that they will make will be informed by people and not by party bosses.
Virginia's first woman governor gets sworn in on Saturday, Democrat Abigail Spanberger. What advice do you have for her?
Well, I can't wait. She is going to be a remarkable partner inside this work, and in fact, I'll be at her inauguration. And you know, the advice that I would give to her is just the same thing that I continue reminding myself every day, is never forget who put you in the seat. You know, a political party did not make me the governor of Maryland. A political party or an individual party bosses did not put you in the seat. The people did. no matter their background, no matter what part of the state they call home. And that's what I have held on to. That is the only advice that I would give her. But frankly, she's an extraordinary public servant, and I'm not sure if she needs any of my advice, because I'm sure she knows that on her own.
Governor, let's get you out here on a subject near and dear to your heart, the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh out as coach after so long. Your thoughts on maybe who Steve Bisciotti should be considering for the job?
Well, listen, I think Bisciotti made the tough but the right choice. You know, John Harbaugh has had a Hall of Fame career. I mean, Harbaugh he's had the kind of career that every single NFL coach would hope to have half the career that Harbaugh had. I mean, like, to be with the same team for that long, to win a Super Bowl, ring, to coach, you know, what, you know, nearly a dozen Hall of Famers. I mean, it has been extraordinary what John Harbaugh has been able to accomplish. And it was still the right time for the Baltimore Ravens to make a different decision. You know, I think we need to find a coach who is defense oriented. I think we need to get back to the smash mouth, you know, beat you up Baltimore Ravens defense that the Baltimore Ravens has been known for. I think we need to find a head coach who also knows how to pick talent and can get an offensive coordinator who knows how to put together the right kind of scheme for who I believe is the most generational offensive talent in the NFL, and that is Lamar Jackson. I think that the window to win with Lamar Jackson is 3 to 5 years, and I think we need a coach that can provide that win in the next 3 to 5 years. And I think we need somebody who is going to bring that swagger back to the locker room. You know, there's something that we've always had about play like a Raven. And frankly, this past year, the team lost that. We need a coach that can bring back what it means to play like a Raven again.
I like that. That's a good plan. Thank you so much, Governor Moore. We so appreciate you taking the time today to have an extended conversation with us, and we hope we get to check back with you throughout the legislature.
I look forward to it, and in case Steve Bisciotti asks, I'm not interested. I'm running for re-election, but I look forward to working with the new head coach.
You know, if that doesn't work out, you and Mike Tomlin could be in a booth together. You guys would be great together.
Look at that.
We would be, but listen, Mike Tomlin will look great in purple. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
I love that.
Ooh.
Shot across the bow to Sean Anderson, the Steelers fan. Thank you, Governor Moore. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. That is Maryland Democratic Governor Wes Moore.
Traffic and weather next on WTOP.
Julian Settian, President and CEO of SoSi, on what